We started last week into a series called Relationships That Honor God. And so if you've never been to any one of these talks, we do this every second year. We have, as far as I can tell, for almost 10 years now, I think, we've been doing this. So I was just looking back in today. I didn't go as far back. I just noticed we had 2008, I had stuff. So I'm like, wow. So at least 9 years, maybe more. So, but we've been doing this series for quite some time. And kind of the whole heart behind it is because what we want you to walk away with after these 4 weeks that we're doing, or 5 weeks that we're doing this, is we want you to walk away with this question in your mind: how can I honor God? Okay? How can I honor God? So, because the question, that is, okay, let's be honest. How often does that question pop into your head? Really? So when something comes up, is that the first thing that comes to your mind? How do I honor God with this? Sometimes? That's awesome! I like sometimes, because it doesn't for me. I still am not trained to do this. But what I'm hoping is, after 5 weeks of over and over and over, relationships that honor God, does it honor God? That needs to be a question that's always in the forefront of your mind. And so what happens is, when it comes to dating and relationships and sex and all of these other things, is that if the question you ask first, does it honor God? Then, if you ask that question first, most of the other questions will be answered. Now, there'll probably be a few more questions that you can delve a little deeper into. But really, that is the key question, the question that's kind of overarching all of our questions, other questions when it comes to relationships, need to be come after that one question. Okay, so here's three things that we started off last week that we need to have in our minds when we're talking about sex and relationships. Number one, we need to have ask this question. No! Do you really want to know what God thinks? Or do you really want to know what God says? Okay? Sometimes we are like, yeah, okay, well, you know, the Bible says this, we might even know what it says, but do you really want to hear what God thinks and what God says and what God's ideas are about sex and relationships? That's the one thing. That is actually the question of, do you have an open mind to the things of God? Okay? So that's this big question, and we talked about the people of Israel way back, like a couple thousand years ago in Isaiah's time in 700 BC. Isaiah was a prophet, and they were telling him, stop confronting us with God and what he wants. Prophesy to us illusions, or preach to us fancy things that make us feel good about ourselves. That's what they're telling him. So they're telling him, don't tell me the truth. Don't tell me things that make me uncomfortable. Tell me things that make me feel nice about myself and make me just, this is nice, it's comfortable. Don't take me out of my comfort zone. Okay, so we don't want to do that, right? We don't want to just talk about nice, fluffy things that make you feel good. Like, sometimes that happens, and that's awesome. But that's not what our goal is. Okay, secondly, we need to have so that's a big question. Secondly, we need to have this vital perspective. And it comes from John 10:10, that Jesus actually is offering us a full life. Okay, so when we start doubting, is God trying to wreck my fun? Is he holding out on me? Why does he do this? Why does he do that? Why does he have to set it up like this? Why do I have these desires in my heart if God doesn't want me to use them right now? All of these questions, we need to have this vital perspective that the Bible says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The thief being Satan. So he's the one that's trying to get you to think that way and to doubt the things of God. So the thief comes to kill, or steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. This is the vital perspective that you need to have when we're talking, really, not just about relationships and sex, but everything when it comes to the Bible, right? That God actually wants us to live a life where we flourish and that it benefits us. He wants us to have joy. In fact, that leads us to our third thing, where we have this essential understanding. So we have a big question, a vital perspective, an essential understanding. So if you're going like, man, I'm already lost, I'm sorry about the words. They're just silly. But these three kind of things you need to have. So you remember don't talk about lies and make me uncomfortable. Having this view that Jesus is actually wants something for your good. The things that he's said in his word are for your good. And then lastly, this understanding that what is my purpose on earth to begin with? And here it is. It's just wrapped up in this one statement. It's to glorify God, or to honor God, and to enjoy him forever. So this is why God desires us to have joy. The Christian life isn't just supposed to be boring and kind of lame. That there's actual real joy. And it isn't from the activities that we do, and it isn't from the stuff that the world gives us. But God is going to give us a real joy when we glorify him and honor him, when we live our lives in that sort of way. He wants to give us joy. He actually loves to give us joy, but he can't give us joy apart from himself. He really can't, because it's not actually possible that he's made us in such a way that our deepest desire is actually for him. And what the thief wants to do, Satan wants to do, he wants to deceive you. He wants to steal that and replace it with happiness, which only happens when you feel happy, right? The joy that God gives us, I mean, it doesn't matter what happens. He can't steal that joy. So you don't have to be happy to have joy, which is, that's a whole new sermon. I just opened a can. You guys are like, what? That's for another day. But what God offers us is something that's eternal, is what I mean. Happiness, right? Are you with me? Yeah. You're happy when things go well, right? You feel happy when things go your way. And when things don't go your way, what happens? We feel sad or mad, right? Or multiple other. See, I'm a guy. I only have like 5 or 6 emotions that I'm able to identify. What's that? Yeah, see, you girls are going like, what? That's it? And you're like, I can list off. And I can't even think of those right now. I can't even think of those emotions. I'm sad, happy, mad. Is there any more? Oh yeah, frustrated. But I'm right now frustrated because I can't think of any more. Okay, that's enough of that. Okay, so we have this understanding that our purpose in life is actually to honor God and to enjoy him forever. That's really exciting. Okay, so we haven't done this for a little while. I got a movie clip. And it's from a really old movie, okay? Yeah, it's like 90s. It would be from the 90s, I think. Jerry Maguire. And there's a clip in here. It's a 1-minute clip. And I want you guys to just listen, because this is one of the delusions of our culture, okay? The thief comes to steal steal, kill, and destroy, but what he uses is deceit. He wants to deceive us. He wants to lead us away from the truth and feed us a lie, and the lie seems awesome. Otherwise, it wouldn't be any good, right? Who would believe the lie that is so obvious? Nobody, right? Nobody believes the obvious lie. It's the lie that's really good and promises something that you want. That's the lie you believe. And so this is one of the things from our culture. Now, just before we do this clip, I just want to set us up from last week. So last week we started, and I think this is a really important thing. So we have this in big question, we have this vital perspective and essential understanding, but we also need to understand what sex is according to God. So God, if you weren't there last week, I can't do the whole talk for you, but you can go online and listen to it if you're really interested. Basically, it comes to this. We believe that sex is a gift, okay? It's a gift from God. It's actually a divine gift. I'm going to explain that a little bit more today. It's not just a gift. It's a divine gift. There's something special about sex that's different from some of the other gifts that God's given us. And so I'm going to explain what that means in a little bit. But it's not dirty, okay? There's nowhere in the Bible where it talks about sex being dirty. Now, there's lots of places in the Bible where it says it was used inappropriately, right? Which made that dirty. But the actual sex and the way God created it, it's not dirty, okay? It's a gift. And at the other kind of side of things, it's not God. Okay, we don't worship it. It's one of the gods of our culture, and our culture worships it like crazy. But as Christians, we don't worship it. Okay, so that's just kind of an overview of last week. You can listen to it if you want online. That's not on there yet, but it will be soon. Okay, so with that, let's start our clip from Jerry Maguire. All right, so there we go. So that's from Jerry Maguire. Okay, so I'm not gonna comment too much on that right now. We're gonna get to it in a second, but I do want to ask you a question, ladies. How did that clip make you feel? Goosebumps. So doubt. Okay, doubt. Okay, yeah. Made you angry. Awesome. Good. All right, let's be honest, because it didn't make everyone angry, I know. Like, I could feel the, oh, that's so awesome. Okay, let me ask you this question. And even Haley and Jen, if you push aside the anger, isn't there something in your heart that desires that? Isn't there? Something where somebody is just willing to give everything up for you and go like, I'm laying it all aside. You're the one that was made for me. Yeah? Okay. So you're denying those desires? Okay, that's fine. They'll come. No, I'm just kidding. She's like 18. Okay. No, that's you've been through this a little bit, right? So okay. So but yeah, part of what I want to by using that clip is I want to evoke something, a response in you emotionally, and it for all of us it's different. I'm kind of with them. I feel a little bit angry. I'm like, ah. Anyway, so you can turn to your Bibles to page 687. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this talk is just not going to be the way I thought it was going to be. It's like 20 after already. It's crazy. Okay, so you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 687. And we're going to start, it says, avoiding sexual sin. Starting on it's chapter 6, verse 12. We're going to read just to the end of the page there, right to verse 20. And so I'm just going to read it, and I'm going to have a little commentary with it. And we'll get back to our clip and the way it makes us feel and all that kind of stuff later. You say, I am allowed to do anything. Okay, so just setting it up here. Paul is making an argument here against somebody in the Corinthian church who is claiming that they can do anything they want. Now, there, we know from Paul's letters that there is some pretty crazy sexual sin happening in this church. Okay? And so he's starting to confront this whole thing. And so here he goes. You say, I'm allowed to do anything. And this is his response, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, because there's this whole idea of freedom in Christ, I must not become a slave to anything. You say, food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord. And the Lord, get this, you guys, and the Lord cares about our bodies. Isn't that cool? And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he has raised our Lord from the dead. So I just want to, this is what he's getting at here. He is saying, so the argument is that because I'm in Christ, because I'm a Christian and God has forgiven me and I have this forgiveness, I can do anything I want and God will forgive me. That's the argument that's being presented to Paul here. Paul's response is, yes, except God's desire for you and design for you is not to be controlled by your appetites. Okay? That is the message that Paul is giving the Corinthians. Don't let your appetites control you. So he's saying, yeah, you can do, God's given us freedom, but if you use your freedom to actually become a slave, which is actually what he says in another letter to, I forget who it is, maybe Galatians. But if you use your freedom to actually become a slave, then what good is that? Like, is that really freedom? And so he's like, yeah, don't let your appetites control you. And so he's using the example of food, which is obvious, right? We all know what an appetite is, right? You guys know what an appetite is? Right. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm thinking of food right now. McDonald's, right? Yes, McDonald's, appetite, hungry, having a supper. Right, so there's an appetite, there's a hunger there. So what he's doing, though, is he's using that, and then he's switching it to, there's other types of appetites. And so for the appetite that he is confronting here is a sexual appetite. An appetite for not just sex itself, which is good and a gift from God, but sexual immorality. Okay, I'm going to define sexual immorality in a few minutes. So it's this deviation or going away from God's good design for sex. This is how I've said it in the past. So God gives us this gift, and it's super powerful, which is why I call it a divine gift. Because there's something about our sexuality that sets us apart from everything else on earth, including animals. Now, animals, they procreate to make other animals, right? You guys know what procreate means? So, yeah, okay, you got it. There you go. Well, we can have this talk in more depth, but that's not for that's not what I'm trying to do here. Right? So the animals have this, but it's not the same as humans. And so one of the things that that I think Paul is going to, Paul is actually going to get to, is that sexuality with humans is there's something special because we've been created in the image of God. And the gift of sexuality is something that's divine. God specifically has given it to us. And because it's divine, it has incredible power. This is why we do this series every couple of years. Because you do not understand the power of your sexuality. You do not understand it. And if you're in grade 7, you really don't understand it. Okay? But you will. You will eventually. The power will come. And here's the deal. When that guy or that girl comes into your life that makes your heart melt, and they're, you know, statistically speaking, 90% or higher of people get this happens to. So more than likely, you're not in the 10%, you're probably in the 90%, just statistically speaking. This will happen to you, and the power that is unleashed in your life, in your mind, and in your soul, and in your body, in your spirit, is incredibly powerful because it's a divine gift. That's why our culture worships it, is the power that's behind this gift. And so one of the reasons we're doing this at youth, and you know, some of you guys are not there yet, some of you are, is because we want to prepare you in advance. And I can't fully prepare you, but it's like a road sign before a big bump in the road. So, you have those road signs. And so you know when the big bump in the road is coming. Okay? Or even better, because there's some life and death stuff we're talking about here. This is like a big sign in front of a big canyon going don't stop. Right? Don't drive off because boom, you die. Right? So that's kind of the purpose of these talks is to kind of, hey, it's a road sign going hey, hello. There's some power out there, and you don't understand it yet, but it is unbelievably powerful. And you've watched some of your friends get destroyed by it, right? Some of you guys have seen it. Especially some of the older students. You guys have seen some of your friends get destroyed by it already. It's because it's powerful. So don't put yourself in a spot where this can't happen to me. I'm beyond that. That's actually putting you in a spot of vulnerability to actually fall because you're not ready for the incredible power that this gift has. Okay? So, that's kind of the warning sign. Now, this is how we've described it. So, when I grew up, I played baseball. I loved baseball. It was actually fastball I played, like the windmill fastball. And I'm really familiar with baseball. I love every part of it. I like going to the batting cages, hitting balls with bats. But here's what I've discovered. Is that the bat is an incredible thing, right? It feels good in your hands, right? And you're just getting up there, it's like, ah. Oh. And when you hit that ball perfectly, it just feels so nice, and it's gone. You're like, oh yeah, that was awesome. But here's the deal. If your parents was to give you a bat, what do you think that they would have given you the bat for? Baseball. Playing baseball. We'll get to that in a second. That's funny. Okay. Right, for baseball, right? So this is kind of how we have to view this gift that God's given us. It's like God's given us like this baseball bat, and he wants us to go, and he wants to get the greatest enjoyment out of that baseball bat as possible. You know, hitting balls, practicing your swing, doing all that kind of stuff. That's what the baseball bat is for. What God doesn't want you to do, or if it was your parent giving you this bat, what they don't want you to do is to take that bat and beat your little brother, okay? They don't want you to do that, okay? They don't want you to take the bat to school and start swinging it at teachers. Okay, what would your parent, okay, just think about this. What would the reaction of your parent do if they had given you this bat, because your parent loves baseball and you love baseball, and you go to school and you use it on your teacher? Like, seriously, what would be their reaction?
Go
Would they be happy with that? Of course not, right? And it doesn't even matter how badly they might have hated your teacher. They'd be like, whoa, that's way beyond what you need to do with that bat. Okay, so this is, guys, just can we bring it in for a second? So sex is a gift that God has given us, and he's designed it a certain way, and he wants us to use it a certain way. And when we use it that way, it gives life to us, and it's pleasing. It's actually pleasing to God. When we use it apart from his purposes and his design, it's like us taking that bat and using it on our teacher. It's outside of the design. It's not what he gave it. And your parent would be like, oh my goodness, what have I done? Like, it was supposed to be a gift. And in the same way, when we use the gift of sex outside of its design, it's like we're using that bat to destroy things. And it destroys, the person swinging the bat is getting destroyed too, right? You think of the gang members or someone who has the capacity to hit another person multiple times with a bat, there's some damage in that person, right? Not just the person that's down, right? There's some damage there. And so that's, for us, that's been the illustration we've used for quite a few years, because I think it's a pretty powerful illustration. It shows us that, it's not that God shouldn't give us a bat, right? It's not that we should eliminate baseball because there's gang members who use it to kill people, or bad people use it to kill people, right? We shouldn't say, that's it for baseball, no more baseball, because somebody used a bat to kill someone, right? That's crazy. In the same way, that's why God gave us sex, so that we would use it properly, but he's not going to take it away and say, oh, I'm going to cancel sex from now on, right? Because someone used it inappropriately and ruined his gift, took it out of the way or out of his design. So that's how we need to view it, okay? So let's keep going here. Don't you realize? Okay, so this is Paul's continuing his argument. So first he's given us a practical thing, an illustration going like, don't let your appetites control you. That's not who you are. That is, when you're a Christian, that's not who you are. Your appetite doesn't control you. Christ controls you, and the things that he desires for you is what is to control us. So he goes on to the next part of his argument. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually part of Christ? Whoa, you guys catch this? Your physical body, if you're a Christian, is part of Christ. What? That's crazy. This is what happens when you become a Christian. This is why I loved Ian's talk a few weeks ago when he talked about body, soul, and spirit, how we're all of it is part of the image of God. Okay? Yes. Well, there. You know what? If I can play off that, in the Bible, it actually talks about God's people being a temple, and each of us are stones, and Jesus is a cornerstone, and it's built up into a temple, so that collectively the Spirit of God lives in us together. Isn't that crazy? But this is also this is actually where this is going. Here it goes. Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, or a woman, and join it to a prostitute?
Never.
Now, very clearly, Paul is not asking a question going like, do you think? Right? It's a rhetorical question. Of course not. Right? But we're really short on time, but here's the deal. In Corinth, you guys, this is really important. In Corinth, they had temples to foreign gods, and there was temple prostitutes in these temples. What he's getting at here is when you use sex outside of God's design, it's like prostitution. That's how serious he's in. Because your body is a temple. It's a temple. And so I don't have time to like delve into the craziness of that whole thing. But he's using this imagery of us being a temple. Your body is a temple that God actually lives in it. And the imagery of prostitution because of what is happening in Corinth at the time. That this was an acceptable practice for the Corinthians, where they would go into the temple prostitutes to have sex, because that was part of their religion. Craziness. All right. Should a man take... Okay. Never, he says. Don't you realize if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? Okay? He's talking more just about physical here. But the person who is... Sorry. The two are united into one. Here's one of the delusions or lies that our culture has bought into, is that sex is a physical act. That is not, well, it's true, but it's not true, right? There is a physical part to sex, but it's not primarily a physical act. The Bible talks about sex differently, that there's a union here that's happening between your mind, or sorry, your body, soul, and spirit. That this is, every part of who you are is involved in this. This is why sexuality and sex is, there's intimacy involved in it. And so here's what happens when we deviate from that. Here's what some of the forces around us do, like pornography and some of the sexual immorality magazines and all this stuff do to us. What it does is it separates the act of sex from an act of intimacy and closeness, an act of with your mind and your soul. It separates that and makes it just an act of your body. And what happens is it destroys your ability to have those three together. And so it actually warps and it hurts you. That's what sexual immorality does to us. This is why God says, don't do this. It's outside of my design, that I designed it for one man, one woman in marriage. That's how I designed it. Okay? Now, I'd like to do something on appetites, but I actually have a plan to do that next week a little bit, talking about attraction, because here's what I need to say right now. Attraction is not something you control. So who you're attracted to is completely out of your control. So if you're attracted to same sex, someone of the same sex, that is not in your control, okay? What is what you do with that attraction. Okay, that's where you have control. It'd be like saying, well, once you get married, you won't be attracted to anybody anymore except your wife. What? That's crazy. This is not a reality, right? You can't help who you're attracted to. That just happens, okay? So I need to make that, when we're talking about appetites and we're talking about this, and I have to make that statement, because some of you guys I know, like in a room with this many people, are going to be struggling with all sorts of different types of attractions. And so you have to watch out. Like, the attractions aren't what define you, and lots of them are momentary. So you might have some feelings for someone that you won't have, you know, in a few months or a year, or, you know, those, sometimes these things pass too. So anyway, that's not what I'm trying to talk about, but I do need to address that. We'll talk about that more in depth next week, actually. Okay, so let's continue on here. So what does Paul say we should do with this? He says, run from sexual sin. And this is where we get this whole idea that sex is a divine gift. No, how many other sins? No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Now the significance of that is that your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Christ if you're a Christian. Okay, so that's what makes that sin so significant. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? God, you guys catch this? The Holy Spirit lives in you. And it was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself. This is so cool, you guys. For God bought you with a high price. It was actually Christ's death on the cross. Jesus dying on the cross is what paid the price, the penalty for your sin. And not just your sin, but in order to give you life, real life, this full life that God is offering us, was paid for by Christ. The sin, the bad stuff, all the stuff that keeps you from God, Jesus did away with that on the cross so that you could have a good, wholesome, awesome relationship with God. One that would make you complete and whole. So here's the lie of our culture. Last verse, because this one's kind of the key. So he's like summing this all up. You must honor God with your body. Awesomeness. All right. What do I have time for here? I told you I would define sexual immorality. So here it is. I think sexual immorality is any sexually motivated behavior producing a sexual response. Now, for some of you, you're going like, what? I'm not there yet. It's okay. Next time we do this talk in a couple of years, you will be. The test, does it result in arousal, stimulation, gratification of sexual organs? All right? Let's put it bluntly. Okay? pretty blunt, is it? Isn't it? Okay, good. So here's some examples of some of it outside, like sexual immorality happening that we can actually participate in, but not like from a viewer. So like pornography. Okay, so that's one. And I'm not saying just the pornography that you might be thinking of. We've defined pornography as I don't have time for this actually. You know what? Anything that will arouse, will produce arousal in you, is probably pornographic. So, like scantily clad women on magazines, or men, or like some of these magazines, just because they have a little bit of cloth covering a couple areas on their body, doesn't say, oh, then that's not porn, right? That's just silliness. That's deceiving yourself into thinking you're okay. But really what you're doing it, the reason you're doing it is because it's producing something in you, a sexual response. That's what's drawing you to it. So let's just get that out there. Okay, so we don't have time to go back, past that. So lustful fantasies, friends with benefits. If you don't know what that is, that's okay. Just if someone asks you to do that, just say no. You'll find, yeah, I just don't have time to explain all these things. Sex before marriage, homosexuality, coarse sexual humor, so telling sexual jokes that are coarse and inappropriate. Sexting, so inappropriate texting with somebody. So this one's crazy. I call it outer coarse. Actually, it's not my word. I got it from another guy. But it's oral sex, anal sex, groping, and anything that causes sinful lust. Okay, so some of you guys are just completely lost, and that's okay. But the point is that it's when God talks about sexual immorality, he's talking about, like, you guys have a junk drawer in your house where you just throw everything?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay? That's the imagery that we get from the Bible. That it's all of these different things. This is like God's drunk drawer of sexual immorality. It's all of this stuff. It's not just one act. Okay? I think we need to say that because our culture wants us to narrow, or even our Christian culture wants us to narrow it to this one specific act. But it's more than that. And here's how we navigate that. Does it honor God? Right? We ask that question, right? And then, oh, yeah, okay. All right, then. That is sexual immorality because it's not honor God. Okay. How do I want to end this here? Okay. I can save some of this for, I'm going to have to do some of this for next week. Okay, let's finish off with this. Here's the purpose of sex, okay? I want to finish off by just going, this is the purpose. So it involves your body, your soul, and your spirit. It involves your whole person. This is what sex is. And so here's what its purpose is. Number one, the obvious, and this we share this with the entire animal kingdom. It's for procreation, meaning creating little humans, okay? That's what procreation means, making more humans, okay? And that was in the garden. God told us to do that. He said, go and multiply, right? That's how we do it. And the joke from last week, he didn't tell us to be amoebas and just split, right? He told us to have sex and multiply, have babies. Okay. Secondly, sex is for unity. So the biblical definition, we just wrote, this is what we just got from this today, is that it's a union where the two become one. Okay, that's how the Bible talks about marriage, the two becoming one. And the reason it talks about unity is it's not just physical. It unifies your entire being with that other person. That's why there's so much devastation when it comes to sexual things. Casual sexual relationships damage people deeply. And the area where it damages them the most is their self-worth. Because you feel worthless, you feel dirty. And once you feel dirty, anything goes. Okay. And thirdly, it's for pleasure. Okay, God could have stopped it at the first two. You know, man and a woman, intimacy. They'll be close, union. Procreation, yep, we need other humans. So there you go. That's what you got. But he didn't. This is why this gift is special, or one of the reasons why it's special, that he gave us pleasure involved in this whole thing. But that's also what makes it hard to wait, is because it's more than just these kind of technical things, that God gave us some pleasure in it. And so that's what makes it difficult. And God didn't have to do that, but he chose to do it. So here in a nutshell is what we need to finish with. Our goal as Christians is to find what our hearts desperately desire in Christ, right? So unfortunately, that clip, we're going to have to use it next week because I didn't get to the stuff where it talks about it. In fact, we will. We'll use it next week. We'll get to that. But the idea that Jesus completes us is something that has to be really rooted deeply in your heart. Because when the relationship, the allure of a relationship with a guy or a girl comes, that will be shaken to the core. Guaranteed. I don't think I've ever met with anybody. Okay, anybody who's married here, is that true? Yeah? There you go. Yeah? Yes. Okay, so don't be deluded. Don't be deceived into thinking that you're going to be okay. That you'll just navigate it no problem. It's going to be some stormy season. It's going to cause you stuff that you are going like, I don't know if that'll be me. It's going to be you, right? Every single adult here is like, yep, yep. That's the way it is. It's a very powerful force. And you will compromise things you never thought you would compromise because of the power of the forces within you. All right. So our what we want is to find our hearts that desperately, the deepest desperate desire needs to be Christ. Okay, that needs to be rooted long before this relationship comes along. Everything else is an attempt from the enemy to draw you away from this completeness into brokenness. So the enemy wants to lure you away with a relationship with a guy or a girl that instead of giving you the wholeness and completeness you desire, it will actually leave you empty and broken. But his promise is that this is what you need. This is what your heart desires. You need a boy. Or you need a girl. And that's where the brokenness will actually just grow massively. So what Jesus offers us is himself. Because only he can satisfy, only he can complete and give us wholeness. The bait always looks great, okay? Otherwise we wouldn't take it, right? But always remember that attached to that bait, behind the bait is a hook that will enslave you. So Satan will use your appetite against you. Okay, it's a God-given appetite, by the way. This is not like an evil, dirty appetite. God gives us these desires. It's part of when we grow older, when we mature in our bodies, and this is what happens to us, right? These God-given desires start to surface. Okay? But watch out for the bait. Watch out for the shortcut. Sin is always a shortcut, and it's meant to destroy. It's meant to undermine what God has for you, and it's made to go like, no, don't wait. Here, take this now, because it looks awesome. Eat it. Right? That's what happened in the garden with Eve, with the fruit. I'll just eat it now. Hook. All right. So that's where I want to leave off, talking about Jesus completes us, even though this is an incomplete sermon because I missed half of it. So next week, we will actually get into the delusions that our culture wants us to believe. Okay? So can I pray for you guys and you guys can go to your small group? Is that good? All right. Yeah. And more than likely, you would fall into the category of sex is dirty. You can't get away from it because of what it's done. It's made you feel impure. Right? Like that's part of it, and it's hard, and you might be going like, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And next week we're talking about temptation and forgiveness. So this is perfect. Perfect setup. No, that's awesome. Exactly. You know, Thank you. I'm very thankful for that, Derek. Thank you very much. Okay, can I pray for you guys? Because it's like, look how late it is, I'm sorry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all these students and the leaders. Thank you for speaking to Derek. That was awesome. We needed to hear that. Father, I pray that you would just guide our conversations tonight, that you would Help us to delve beneath the questions into what's going on in our hearts. And Lord, you give our leaders wisdom and the ability to ask those deep questions. Lord, I pray for these students. This is a tough, tough time to grow up in. We're just surrounded by sexual stuff all over the place. It's so hard. And then we got to fight our own desires sometimes that then we feel, we even feel unclean from our own desires, not even that we've done anything. And so, Lord, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit to fill us up and to show us where the lies are, to expose those things. Lord, for those of us who have been victims, I just pray that your Spirit would start healing right now, healing the brokenhearted, healing the brokenness of our spirit and our mind and our bodies and our souls that this that using sex outside of your design does to us, even if we're not a willing participant. And so, Lord, I just pray for that healing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.